They lived austerely for the most part. They worked hard. They plowed the profits back into the businesses. This set of attitudes bred a kind of contempt for useless aristocracy. These men possessed a ferocious self-confidence, an absolute sense that they knew, they discovered what was right, how to achieve it, and they transformed enlightened rationalism into pure utilitarianism and merged both with a kind of religious zeal, a religious conviction. What was utilitarian was just. Hard work, thrift, a sober, moral, private life was raised as the highest virtues. While they were indifferent to the plight of their workers, they encouraged Christian charity, they established self-help organizations. As the century progressed, Britain would sprout a number of these, associated very prominently with a man by the name of Samuel Smiles. I think it's a particularly interesting name for someone interested in this sort of thing. Friendly societies, they were called, to teach urban workers the same faith in progress, the same faith in work, the same faith in merit. Smiles would publish a book in 1871 called Character, followed 4 years later by another one called Thrift, followed 5 years later yet another one called Duty. I think one gets the drift of what Mr. Smiles was trying to teach. But it was, if you were poor, if you're living in miserable conditions, then what you have to do is to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. This was the way to salvation. And the key was not for state intervention to soften the impact of industrialization and industrial capitalism, but rather self-help organizations and, as I said, Christian charity. These attitudes, interestingly enough, led, as the century progressed, to a growing distinction between public and private morality. If the world was, as it was so often depicted among these new business entrepreneurs, as a dog-eat-dog world, if it was a jungle out there and you had to pursue your interests ruthlessly to make a pound, to get ahead, if one had to act according to one's own interests, well, in private life, you couldn't apply these things. There had to be some distinction. And so one sees in England over the course of the 19th century a growing gap between what was seen as acceptable business behavior, public behavior, and private life, where a strict moral code of respectability was adopted, in part to distinguish these new middle-class entrepreneurs from the frivolous and immoral aristocracy, the parasitic aristocracy on the one hand, and from the great unwashed, as they would have put it, the workers and their social inferiors on the other. It led to a strict code of moral behavior in one's private life. Victorian morality would come to be called over the course of the 19th century. It's very interesting if one looks at some of the visual art of the period and illustrations, I think in particular of the work of somebody like Dickens, who of course chronicled this process of industrialization with great vividness, lampooning these kinds of ideas as powerfully as he possibly could. There is very common in Victorian cartoons and drawings, etchings, and so on, there's a depiction of the family circle, the family sitting around the fireside, frequently with frosty panes, window panes. There's the cold outside world. It seemed to have snowed a lot in 19th century England, so that these depictions always seem to have the warm hearth, the family around in the family circle at home, obviously engaging in this high-minded private behavior, but with this cold world on the outside. It is also a period, incidentally, where Christmas emerges as a major kind of holiday associated with the family like this. Again, I think it really does reflect this growing sense of One has to protect oneself in one's castle. And then there's this outside world where the old rules don't work. The old rules don't apply. And so the family circle and so on, and the sense of private virtue, what one does in public, in business is another matter, but private virtue was extolled. Virtue, as one contemporary observer noted, quote, advanced on a broad, invincible front.